The Garnet Wager is a show where two players compete in a fantasy-style competition while watching episodes of The Genius. Players accumulate points based on the actions of their chosen fantasy contestants in the game show, and these points are tracked over the course of the season. The player that wins in fantasy points for that episode wins the episode, and can assign media homework for that episode. The loser must report back on that media at the end of the episode. This competition is not just for the hosts. Rules are made available to anyone who wants to play as you listen along with us. Welcome to Season 2. Welcome to the Garnet Wager. Begin.
Friends and folks, and welcome to another episode of The Garnet Wager. We're here to talk about The Genius, a fine Korean game show, reality show, slice of life comedy, really, if you think about it. And don't, you know, at the end of the day, it's about the geniuses you made along the way. I'm in a goofy mood. I'm Six Demar.
I'm an extremely goofy movie. I'm Alan Ibrahim.
Alan, we just watched the penultimate episode of the second season of The Genius. The Genius Season 2 is winding down, and I don't know how to feel.
Why is that?
Tell me how to feel.
Oh.
I just am not very in touch with my emotions, generally speaking, and I need to be told how to feel at all times.
Well, I will say that I found this penultimate episode, entitled Elevator Game, to be pretty good. I have some questions about the main match. I don't want to just become the person who uses my talking time to ask you how the game works, but like I get it. I understand why somebody won and like what's going on, but like it seems complicated. And I messaged you earlier that my problem seems to me that the games themselves aren't necessarily that complicated, but it's more a problem of they're explained in like 30 seconds. And then they are way more, they're inevitably way more complicated than that. And then you used a joke to disguise the fact that you think that it's my fault that I don't understand the rules.
I hate to be so transparently seen through. But I did kind of, like you said that before I'd watched the episode.
Uh-huh.
And then I watched the episode of the Bandage Man was like, these are the rules of the game. And I was like, oh, I perfectly understand this game. Yep. And the game started and I was like, yep, I perfectly understand this game. Sorry, I just got it in one this time, I feel like.
No, I mean, I understood the game. It's more like I understand the rules. The rules of Elevator Game are you're trying to get to the top. The one team is the Genius players. The other team is the returning players, which we have Daye, we have Gino, and we have Doohee, our boy, our gun friend.
And calling them the Revengers is perfectly correct.
That's my favorite Metal Gear Solid side game, Revengers. And it's accurate because they're all there for money. No, so there's them and then they're against the Genius team and it's whoever hits the top first wins, but also the Genius players can mark different floors on this 100 floor elevator hell. And if they land on those floors at the end of a turn, then their self gets points. So naturally the Genius players, I mean, they're part of the problem is that they're competing with each other in addition to, beating the other team. My question was, so does the other team have any incentive to stop? Like, they should just go directly full strength towards the goal, right?
Have you ever played the classic arcade game Elevator Action?
Yes.
That doesn't have anything to do with what I'm about to say. No, they don't have any reason not to just go straight for the goal, but the problem is, Alan, the thing that makes this tricky is that you don't have complete control over what you move. Everyone has a button. I believe it's the phones from a previous main match.
It's just zero. It's the zero and ones.
Zero and one. But it's not just the team that's turn it is that picks. It's also the other team. And so you're trying to do some number mind games of like, well, I think they picked three, and if they got a six, that would be great for them, but if they got a five, that would be terrible, so we should submit two, because I'm pretty sure they picked three. Oh, no, they picked two, so they got four, and that's also good for them. Damn it.
Right. It took me a little while to understand that both teams are moving, because there are two different pieces on the board, one for each team, but both teams are picking how far they move.
Right.
That was the part that confused me at first, and I was like, wait, how does this work?
I see. I feel like that was a little under, like, underframed, as it were. That the part that both of them were responsible for every move was not, like, it became clear to me immediately because of the results of the very first roll, but they don't say it expressly in the rules. That's true.
Right. And I mean, other than that, I didn't find it that complicated. That was most of the thing where I was like, wait, why? Because Songmin's big play this episode is to basically work with the other team and use a simple series of symbols and signals. There's a lot of S sounds. To tell the other team what his team was going to pick, like what their if they're going to 0, 1, 2, or 3.
Mm-hmm.
And that works for a while. But my question then was like, what's the advantage? Because the advantage then, like, I want you guys to pick things that'll be beneficial to me specifically.
Yeah. Okay. Totally.
So then there you go. Now I understand the game. Mm-hmm. What were some plays in this episode that you were a big fan of?
I mean, honestly, it's kind of... I thought this episode was fine.
Mm-hmm.
Emphasis on fine, right? Like, okay, yes. Sure. I wasn't particularly impressed with this episode because it's just like... It's another one of those episodes where only one person really makes a play, and that's Songmin, and also the returning players, right?
Right.
Where Songmin does the thing that Songmin does over and over, which is he forms a partnership with the outsiders, because that's his thing. He's good at that. So he forms a partnership with the outsiders, and then does signals to them, indicating basically, like, at first what he wants them to move, and then halfway through they switch it up, and it's what their team has done.
Their team big. Right.
And I guess there are the fact that he thought to do signals is not that impressive. We've seen a lot of signals across the genius at this point, right?
Correct, yeah.
And for a while, I was like, how the hell are his teammates not catching on to this? Like,
oh man,
these are not subtle signals, right?
No, nope.
It's like punching yourself in the head, dancing, or saying please over and over. It's like, I feel like you'd get caught for some of that. And I was like, oh, wait, it's Songmin. And this is getting back to something I've said in a previous episode, which is, like, part of what Songmin's general strategy is that he puts out, like, his signal-to-noise ratio is ridiculous. If you're trying to interpret Songmin's motives based on his words and actions, you just have so much fucking data. Because
right.
He doesn't shut up, and he's a lunatic. And, like... You know, it's not necessarily the most sophisticated approach, but it is certainly effective to just be like, well, song means dancing. Does this mean he's signaling, or does this mean he's former K-pop star and professional spotlight hog Songmin?
And he's also doing different types of dance. Like, he does a little bit of Michael Jackson. He does, like, kind of a jumping jack dance. Like, yeah, right. It's exactly right. That he's just throwing a lot of data out there and just being confusing. Because even, like, hitting your head is, like, a very common thing when you're playing, like, a tricky mind game. I thought it was really, really funny that he was doing it so hard and so often that he was like, my head hurts. I have a headache now. Now my back hurts from dancing. I'm old. And it's like, dog, you're 41. What are you doing? Don't hit yourself so hard. But yeah, the signal game, it was really surprising to me that they didn't pick up on it. I think, at least with the case of Jung-hyun, it seemed like, oh, you know, previously, I think there was that moment with Jin-ho many episodes ago, where he took a thing from right in front of Jung-hyun's face because he wasn't paying attention. And so there's precedent for that, but also Jung-hyun is the one who figures this out. And then it's a question of, like, well, how long did he know it was going on before he dropped the bomb of, like, hey, let's have the other team go first. Let's see if that fucks with anyone.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he does know what he's doing.
I do wonder about, I mean, like, Jung-hyun started to figure stuff out and started to do some moves. Obviously, it wasn't enough. I do wonder about Yuan this episode, and I wonder if the editing sold him short. Because you get the impression starting out that Yuana has a plan and that he's trying to at least coordinate with members of the Revenger team. And we just never hear, like, that's like a dropped plot thread almost. Like,
yeah, there's this part very early on where he takes Dai and he's like, can I see you in the other room? And it's like, all right, so we know for sure he's doing something. And then, like you said, that doesn't really come back. He doesn't really get it, at least on the camera, we don't see anything happen.
And I mean, I think we can safely assume that his plan didn't work because he didn't win. But, like, still, it feels like there's only really one narrative to the game. To this episode. To the game, I bet there was more than one narrative. I bet there were multiple plans being attempted. But the editing's like, well, this is the plan that won, so we're just going to remove the other plans from the edit and just sort of focus it down to, hey, Songmin won again. I don't know. I thought it was a little shallow. I was a little disappointed that the editing didn't try a little harder to sell us on Yuan being up to something or on Jung Hyun's intuition or, you know, whatever. It just seemed like we knew the whole time, or at least very quickly, what was happening. And that was never really challenged.
Exactly. And I think Yuan comes out of this episode negatively in a lot of ways, even though he doesn't get eliminated. But he has a lot of, like, good comedic moments and also some good plays throughout. My worry with him early on was, like, he didn't seem that committed to everyone else. He kind of seemed a little bit distant. And it's turned out over time that he's actually just very calculating and doing a lot of thinking. Like, you know, whereas Hong Chul disguises the fact that, like, sometimes he isn't always 100% ready to kick butt. So he disguises that with comedy and, like, being extra. Whereas Yuan is like, no, I can figure this out. I don't need to be a character. I'll be funny when I need to. Like, he goes into this game with zero garnets. And when they're saying all the garnet counts, he hides behind Jung Hyun. And he's like, I want to hide. I don't want to be here right now. Because he knows when it's funny to be a character. But once it comes down to the game, he just kind of, even to these last rounds, is still just like standing in the back with his notepad, taking notes, not making any dramatic plays. And that works out really great until the very end when he kind of gets taken by the Jinno play with the making him choose zero and all that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it feels like to me that they that he really was been learning over the course of this season, and not just like to be better at the game, but also like to sort of. He learned from Songmin when to sort of turn it on and turn it off as far as like charisma. He learned from Jinho, his rival, to have better game sense as to what was happening. He learned a little bit from everybody. And I think if this were like season one, I would be a lot more convinced of his potential. Right? But I mean, we've talked about it before. Songmin just has an extra season of growth. So did Jinho, and he just kind of got knocked out, sorry, Jiwon, by a fluke. Like, I'm starting to wonder if the idea of returning players is good or fair. Because you really just get so much better at the genius by playing the genius.
And they picked the players who I think were, like, these were like the perfect three players to pick in terms of like commitment to the game, understanding the rules, and like the tenacity to win. Because Dai, I mean, we mentioned when she was on the show that, like, she's clearly very good. She had a bad death match, but she was clearly very good. And then this episode is like, yes, confirmed. She really was good, and she can turn a whole game around really well. And then you have Dewey, who knows how to listen to instructions and do things that his older seniors tell him to do. Jinho's obviously a fucking lord.
This game wasn't really designed to show off Doohee's, and also, again, the editing wasn't either, right?
Yeah.
Like, Doohee had a moment near the beginning where, like, Jung Hyun was milling around the board, and he was like, I wonder what the best route would be. And Doohee was immediately like, here, 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 here. This is mathematically the best route.
And then he's like, can anyone hit that ever? No.
Yeah, it's just like he doesn't get another moment like that, and I think it's partially the game wasn't built for it, and again, partially, yeah, I just have a lot of beefs with the editing here, because it's just like there was a lot more potential in this episode, I feel like, and it just wasn't tapped into.
Part of the problem is that the whole middle of the game is cut out. It's really weird. Like, the pacing, I like I definitely didn't want to see the whole game. But what we learn is that Songmin put most of his marked points early in the game. And so once they jump past that, everyone kind of agrees, like, well, we just fucked over Songmin. Maybe we just made him lose. And then you kind of learn that, like, no, he has plays to get them back down there and to get himself those points. He knows he has the other team in the palm of his hand. And then we kind of, like, jump forward, and we're already in, like, the 60, 70 floors. And then bing, bang, boom, we're done with the game. Like, we miss so much of the middle that it feels like there isn't a lot of build-up to the end of the game.
Yeah. And, you know, maybe that's because there wasn't, right? Maybe that's because, like, oh, man, if you saw the middle of the game, you would be like, why in God's name did they show me this? This is so boring.
Yeah. Which I get. I guess I would always rather a shorter episode. But like you said, this pace leads to certain players just not getting a chance to show off. And that's unfortunate, especially this late into the season.
Yeah, they really feel sold short by the show to me.
Yeah, I mean, there's, like, it's literally only that final moment with Yuan and himself early on when someone's like, oh, I hate this. And he's like, yeah, I hate myself too. With a charismatic smile.
Yeah, he just has that awkward little smile. And it's like, I just hate seeing you like this. And he's like, yeah, I'm pretty terrible. Just like, oh, buddy.
Extreme mood. But yeah, he gets that, but we don't get to watch him play the game, which is like what I'm here for. I already know all these people are fun. I already know they're all good players. I want to just see it happen now.
Yeah.
I definitely wouldn't watch it, but would you ever be interested in a, like, full uncut, we're going to show you all of the game and all of the deathmatch episode of The Genius?
No.
See, sometimes I think about it, but then I'm like, no, but really, that stuff is hours long.
Yeah, the thing is, like, I have problems with the, like, okay, here's a story for you, right?
Okay, yeah.
I run a lot of podcasts, and yes. I've had various, like, I've tried various experiments. Frankly, the Garnet Wager was an experiment, right?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Like, with the homework idea and everything, it was like, okay, and, like, the challenges, it's like, I wonder how this could work on a podcast. The first episode of the show has a cold open, and it was like, I wonder how cold opens work. Turns out, not great. On a podcast where they don't know who you are, turns out cold opens are a bad idea.
Right.
But, you know, you try stuff. And there was one week on Bottle Crow, my Dota 2 podcast, where it was like, we have a topic, but we've both been busy, and we don't have, like, notes or anything. We just have a topic, and normally we have a lot more than that. And I was like, it's fine. We'll just kind of shoot the shit for a while, and then I'll edit it down into a coherent thing. That is possibly the worst decision I've ever made as a podcaster. That episode was a nightmare to edit. And if I ever released it, like, unedited, I would probably lose subscribers because it would be such a trash fire. It was so bad. Wow. Like, when you have this much content and you edit it down this much, I may disagree with cuts here or there or the direction, but absolutely I want edits. Absolutely. That's so much content, and I know so much of it is bad.
Yeah, especially in a show where, I mean, there are things that they might have even been doing different takes on that I don't want to see, or, like, someone misunderstood something and we don't want to watch them be awkward. Like, they're kind of, like, cutting around the chaff and the stuff you don't want to see. But I just feel like, again, there's a difference between editing and pacing, right?
Yes.
If we're going to kind of get into the, like, discussing the cinematography and the filmic aspects of this show, pacing is the feeling of a progression, a beginning, a middle, and an end. And in that respect, I think this episode fails because it misses the middle. It jumps straight to the plays have all worked out in the end, and now here's who wins. And it has the beginning where people are finding their sea legs, but it doesn't have the really crunchy, like, math part. But in terms of editing, I do think they are trying to show the best parts. Like, I could imagine someone looking at all this footage and going, like, well, nothing fun or interesting happens in the middle. Let's just get the beginning and the end, and that's the episode. And we have a good episode there. Because the beginning of the episode has these, like, really fun character dialogue moments where everybody's talking. Like, I think one of the funniest parts in that whole episode for me was when you have the three genius players in a room. It's like this room is like the source of all of the funniest moments on the show, I swear. It's one with all the small chairs, and they're all talking about how they should actually work together and not against each other. Mm-hmm. And then whoever wins is just wherever the chips fall. But Jung-hyun is basically like, if we work together, we can win. We get that 2 million won and everything goes well for us. And this inspirational music starts playing, and you're like, yeah. And Sangmin is like, you know what? You're right. We do want that. I super want that money.
And like the subtitles start to like bloom with flowers. And there's like this like flowery filter that goes over the screen. That's like everything's like this beautiful dream.
Right, right, yeah. Like this is just perfect. And either they're gonna like have somebody wake up and it's gonna be a literal dream, or we're gonna get a record scratch. That was my note as I was watching that. I was like, here comes the record scratch. Here it comes. And then they all separate and they're like, great, I'm happy about it. And then we cut the song and he's like, eh. And no, we cut to Yuan too. Yeah. No, Yuan is the one who's like, eh. And then there is a literal record scratch, and you're like, this is great. They know what they're doing.
The cuts. It's two cuts in a row. First, the cut to Yuan, and Yuan's like, Jung-hyun just spout a bunch of bullshit and he's out of his mind.
And then Sangmin's like, sure, good plan, but I also want to beat both of you badly. Like, all right, great. Nobody wanted to work together. Okay, good.
And then again, it cuts back to Jung-hyun. He's just like, I'm just so glad we could all come together on this. It's like, oh, buddy.
Oh, no, buddy. You were so happy.
You think you have the votes. You do not have the votes, my friend. Yep.
And at this point, as the game starts to progress, I mean, like, Yuan and Jung-hyun are like, all right, how about we work together? How about the final alliance? Number two and number three. We're going to take Sangmin down and win at the same time. And, I mean, it's at this point, we get another good moment where Jung-hyun is, like, getting really worked up because these alliances aren't working and nobody cares. And he's like, uh-oh. And he, like snaps, and then he's like, I can't get worked up. I gotta go. And then he just starts, like, pacing around the room. He's just like, I gotta run it off. I'm not gonna get worked up. I'm Jung-hyun. Come on, Jung-hyun. Don't get worked up. Come on.
And he, like, literally, he's saying this. He's just like, no, it's okay, Jung-hyun. You can't get mad, Jung-hyun. Not good to get mad.
No, like, don't get mad. It's fine. We're having fun. This is the genius. This is a good game. We're gonna win it. Come on. Why are you jogging? What are you doing? So silly. I love Jung-hyun so much. God bless him. He's my favorite. He's the person that makes me the happiest on the show right now. That's the thing. Which is unfortunate. But I think the part one break happens around here. It seems like Sangmin is fighting back against any and all alliances, and he has some plans. Emo text of the week comes from the beginning of part two. I do forget the context of this, but one of the texts is like, why are you being like that, friend? And it's like, I think it's like two people fucking each other over. And oh, it's also the realization that Sangmin is working with the other team. And then also when he does that and it starts to work well, the subtitles write a bunch of stuff in Korean, and then you just see win-win in the corner, and you're like, yeah, yeah, he's doing the thing he does from the song. All right. I get that reference. And then there's a lot of silly stuff. This is the part where I felt like the pacing kind of falls off, and it's just like, well, there's a couple moments here and there that are good. Jung-hyun does find the lie, and then this is just a cool language thing I noticed, but he says like, oh, maybe we should have them go first, just in case, you know, just in case. But the Korean term for just in case sounds like he's spitting on someone. It's very like, yeah. It's like, he's like very like secretly angry, but he's just like, no, guys, like, let's let the other team go first. Like, that's fine, just in case.
We did get one other good language moment later, which is when like after it's either this time or a different time that the other team is required to go first, and then like that, like Jung-hyun asks Jin-ho, he's like, what'd you vote? And Jung-hyun's great accent and pronunciation come back because he's like, it's a G-grit. And they're like, a G-grit? Can you use your mouth, please?
Can you say words with the phrases, please? It's a G-grit.
Don't bully my boy.
Oh.
He's got a charming little bit of an accent, and it's nice, and we love him for it. It's good.
We love and respect and want to protect him. I understand that. Sangmin kind of does a triple cross at this point also, which is kind of fun. Because he's like, yeah, I'm working with the other team, but also, fuck that shit, I'm working with myself. They're going down to floor 45. Bye, we win. What did you think about that whole thing, about Sangmin's whole, like, dominating this whole game with his double and triple crossing?
Well, he failed to. Which is good. And let's, like, credit where credit's due, Dai, like,
she snipes that immediately.
Completely catches it. It's like sort of like, it seems like we're giving everything to Sangmin, and I see potential for him to get greedy, and let's just nip that one in the bud. Like, watch your ambition, bud. realize who's really in power here.
Yeah. Like,
good, good. This is the lady I thought was going to go far. And,
yeah.
And, you know, you can understand why.
Right. Exactly. And then we get the aforementioned make him choose zero play where, I like this from like a symbolic perspective. I know it's not, good sportsmanship to like look into symbolism in real life people, but, Jinho and Yuan have a moment in this part, where basically, the Revengers team is trying to get, more than three, but, the Songmin and everybody else is making Yuan think, oh, I should probably pick zero. And if he plays zero, then they're going to get their three and they're going to go and they're going to get ahead. And he doubts himself and then he just goes. And the other team jumps ahead and does super well. And the sort of narration, it points out the fact that, like, he knows Jinho as somebody who will always make the really, like, spicy, dramatic plays. And so he wanted to counter that, where he didn't really think, like, he was thinking of it as, like, a StarCraft perspective. Of like, he's going to go for the big win. He's going to go for like the huge play and then I'm going to catch him in that and I'm going to pick zero. And it's like, mm-hmm. No, he knew that you thought that.
I mean, it's specifically, it's like, Yuan is thinking of this at like on like a grand, like dramatic strategy level. Whereas Jinho was just purely using knowledge of his personality, right? Where mm-hmm. Jinho's like, okay, we've already voted. We really need them to pick zero. And it's like, oh, and he's like, oh, Yuan's voting? I bet Yuan would pick a zero here. And he's like, oh, you think I'd pick zero? He's like, I think I'd pick zero? It's like,
fuck you, I pick zero.
He got baited so damn hard,
wow,
my dude.
Exactly. It's just really nice to see that moment after all of the history of, like, Jinho getting eliminated by Yuan and the whole, like, I'm going to beat you because I beat you in other games, haha, and then, like, turn it around last minute in a huge way.
Jinho did get eliminated by Yuan.
No, he didn't get eliminated by him, but that was like the plan from week one was like, I'm gonna take him down.
Oh, that's what you mean. Yeah, sort of.
That was like the idea.
I came here to kill you.
Yes, exactly. That's Jinho, what we do here.
Jinho gives Yuan an invitation to his party. And Yuan tears it up, wipes a tear off his eye. I'll kill you.
To be continued.
I'll kill you.
So
we like
we're
other
here.
Shows. Sorry for references.
Yeah, it's cross plug. I love it. Check out the Oops All Anime episode about Gundam Wing that I was on. It's a good one. Or watch Gundam Wing. It's a good one. I was actually really happy that the eliminated team won. I whenever they do these like group games, these returning guest games, I'm always like, well, they're not gonna win. Like Super Junior's not gonna actually win a game. And then yeah, the eliminated team totally wins, and they split 2 million won amongst everybody who got eliminated this season, which is awesome. And so Songmin went for gold and ended up winning on his side and getting his token of immortality again. And there's no choice. It's Yuan and it's Jungkyun and the DM.
It is those two again. But before we get to that, we have to talk about some homework. Because I get to give you homework every episode and I will always win.
Well, okay. Yeah, that's true. That's 100% true. And you will always win and always be the one to give me homework. What did you have me do this week?
So I had you play the latest entry in the Undernight Inbirth EXE series, Undernight Inbirth EXE Latest, or Unist, as it is known within the community, because why would you ever say that? Why would you ever say that name?
Unist, as the people at CEO once told me.
All right. They do usually say Unist. I say Unist because I'm a fool.
Because under sounds like Unist. That makes more sense. Yeah, it's a fighting game. Big surprise. Six had me play a fighting game. Did you know? Six is made of fighting games and concentrated power of will. That's verse composition. Unist. Can I get like a laugh track or something for when I like go for gold on a joke and it doesn't land?
I might be able to work something out.
Unist is a fighting game. It's what's called an animated fighter. We talked about Dragon Ball FighterZ last episode. Mm-hmm. Unist is kind of similar to Dragon Ball FighterZ, except like human beings can play it. And that's my take on it. There you go. Next segment.
Interesting. Interesting.
I mean, to be fair, I haven't played Dragon Ball FighterZ, but it looks very scary. The thing about Unist is like it's a 3-button fighter. Well, that's not true. It's a 4-button fighter. It's a 3-attack, 1-other-button fighter. And it's pretty simple. Like, it's well, okay. Tell, why did you choose this game for me, first of all?
I chose it for you for a few reasons.
Okay.
One, I wanted a fighting game with good netcode so we could play together. Yep. Two, I wanted a fighting game that I was pretty sure you didn't already have an opinion about.
Mm-hmm.
And three, it's a good game that I feel like is fairly easy to get into.
So what about it do you find it easy to get into? And I know this is the homework you gave me, but I'm just dialogue.
Yeah. So first off, I think, like, as you mentioned, like, it's got the three buttons. It's got light, medium, and heavy. And heavy is sort of also the super button, basically.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it's really straightforward in that sense, I think. Other games along those lines that I would recommend, which would be like a cross-tag battle or something, kind of have a lot going on screen. So while they may be good, like, easy to get into, it is a little chaotic, and I wanted something that was a little more grounded, because it seems like that's part of what you appreciate in fighting games, to me.
Right, yep.
And just, like, I thought, honestly, I thought you'd appreciate the girl with the striped stockings and the whip.
Funny and true moment. Eunice allows you to set, like, a player profile picture for yourself based on one of the characters from the game. And after one night of playing, both six, I looked later and realized, I was like, I should set my player profile. Obviously, I'll pick that girl. She's perfect. And then I checked the next time we played. And yeah, we both picked the same girl because Phonon's the best. It's just true.
We just had different angles on her face.
Yeah, just two different pictures of Phonon. yeah, I love the designs of the game. That being, speaking of that, I think it, like, most of the women in it are actually dressed reasonably. And if they're not, then it's like, well, at least they're combat warriors and they're cool. I haven't, like, dipped any further into the story beyond the prologue. The prologue seems very intimidating. The prologue is like this lady being like, in time and space don't matter anymore, and a big thing happened, and here comes some bullshit. And it's just very scary. Me at you, all anime.
You have described almost every fighting game.
Yeah. Everyone's gonna beat each other up and a bad thing happened and we're gonna, I don't know, someone's gonna win. It's enough of a justification to play, but, like, in the I like playing it and just seeing all the characters, I have to say I didn't find anyone to be, like, too aggressively horny, which is good.
Yeah. No, it is, like, the description of the lady with the stockings and the whip may make you think, but it's like, no, actually, she's fine. It's fine.
She's got headphones on and she's not, like, you know, moaning or anything weird like that. She's just cool.
She is, in fact, aggressively disinterested in you being alive.
Yeah, which, again, same.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah, it's pretty straightforward. I feel like, you know, you and I have been talking a lot about fighting games lately as I've been falling deeper and deeper into this hellhole. The idea of, like, skill floors and skill ceilings. Like, for those, if we haven't talked about this before, skill floor being, like, the base level of competence it requires to enjoy the game, and then skill ceiling being, like, the upper level of skill where you can, like, play it at a high level. I think this game has a very low skill floor because, I mean, straight up, the auto combo is a brilliant idea. The idea that you can press one button five times in a row or whatever, and a cool thing happens, and it's, like, flashing, does a ton of damage, is awesome. And as long as that lands, you're going to do great. You don't even have to do anything other than press square over and over again. But that combined with, like, there is a lot of little stuff in there. You were telling me that the main thing that differentiates Eunice from other anime fighters is this like, momentum meter.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, a problem with a lot of anime fighters is that, you know, it's very easy to just have the other person come to you, and in their aggression, you catch them off guard and then trap them in a combo forever. But in Eunice, because of the aggression meter, you don't have any way to counter things effectively unless you're pushing the enemy. Unless you're pushing the opponent and you are moving forward or attacking, you're not, the momentum is not in your favor, both literally and metaphorically. Which I think is great. I think that solves the, like, essential problem of this type of game being that people aren't hitting each other enough or are too afraid to go in.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause everyone who has played a Street Fighter before is like, number one mistake is you jump in too fast. You want to go in, you want to hit hard, you want to do a fireball up close, you want to just get the dragon punch to land for once. And everything in the game tells you, no, don't do that. Don't get that close. You need to play defensively. And this game is like, no, you should be playing offensively. You have to win games of this. Because if you stay back, you're just going to get wrecked. And it's really, it leads to a lot of like really cool, kind of one-sided, but kind of exciting matches where you're constantly pushing back and forth really fast. So I liked that about it a lot. I don't know. You've played a lot of fighting games. I'm always curious, like, when a new one comes out, are you like, well, this one just feels like XYZ, or like this one has something fresh about it that makes me like it more than the older ones, or, you know, like what in the pantheon of fighting of other fighting games that you've played, how does Eunice stack up?
Eunice to me feels a lot like a more like streamlined, elegant version of BlazBlue. Normal BlazBlue, not Cross Tag Battle. But like, I mean, so you talked about, like, you talked about that, like, forcing you to go in thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just anime fighters. That's just almost every anime fighter does that. You actually, last episode, you lumped Dragon Ball, and also this episode, in with anime fighters. And it's actually not one. It's actually a different subgenre, but for reasons that are too stupid to go into, because this shit's too complicated and it shouldn't be. But, like, anime fighters very much emphasize, like, constant action and pressure, and they don't, like, they're, you know, there's a concept of playing patient and forcing the other person to come to you, but, like, they won't let you just, like, run away and you know, like, try and set the battle completely on your terms. You kind of have to sometimes set it on the enemies, and that's part of what makes the subgenre work. And I think Eunice is a really great introduction to that concept, because I think it's really intuitive. Characters have unique attributes like they do in a game like BlazBlue, but none of them are like crazy complicated. Like Hyde,
like
the main
character.
Yeah, like, so here's a comparison. Hyde's attribute, the main character of Uniel and Eunice, his attribute is that when he hits you with his sword, even if it's just a normal type attack, not a special, it does chip damage. It's like,
right.
Oh, okay. You don't actually even need to do that. You can just play and that'll work, right?
Yeah, that's not an input you have to do. That's not a mechanic you have to keep in mind. It's just like, that's a fact of the way he plays.
Let's compare that to the opposite extreme, which is Susanoo from BlazBlue.
Mm-hmm.
Susanoo is a character that starts off with a gauge of, I believe, 10 icons, and 8 of them have chains over them. And what you have to do is you have to do special, like 5, 6, 7 hit combos, and then end them with a specific move to unlock the chains to access new moves and also level up moves you already have.
Within a single match.
Yes. He's got a full-on fucking mini-game built into every round.
Right. It's wild.
It's great, but it is completely wild. It's really hard. Like, it's really just hard to digest on top of, like, okay, let me figure out how, like, first off, let me figure out how this subgenre of game works. Okay, let me figure out how this specific entry changes those rules. Okay, let me figure out how this character changes those rules. And sort of these tiers of learning. So as much as BlazBlue is my favorite fighting game, of modern times anyway, like, there are just so many tiers of learning you have to do, so many levels on which you have to be taught things, that it can be completely overwhelming. And I like Uniel because it is in the same area as the games that I like, but it just takes a few of those layers away and lets you get in faster.
Right. And, I mean, that ties back into the other sort of grand point that I wanted to make, which is, like, this effort of you to get me into fighting games and to get all of our friends into fighting games has been going on for a while. And I'm not to say that it's, like, a conscious thing that you've been doing with a goal at the end of, like, I will get all of my friends into anime fighters, but it's just kind of happened naturally that I've been, like, playing a lot of Guilty Gear, and I bought a fight stick, and I watched a bunch of Evo clips last night. Like, it just, it's been very friendly to get in. And I think what I did really appreciate about you choosing Eunice as the game for me to play now was, it, because it's so easy to understand the basics of what's going on, it's easy to get out of the trap of, like, what other people do when they get into fighting games, which is that they pick a character and they never change it up. Mm-hmm. Like, you have a main and you're like, that's it. That's how I play this game. I play Ryu and I'm only going to play Ryu. Because, like, that was me with Guilty Gear. Like, a couple weeks ago was like, all right, I figured out Soul Bad Guy. I don't need to ever play anyone else. But with Eunice, every time I played, I want to get good at someone else because everybody plays close enough to the same, but has subtle differences that are really cool and fun. That it's not scary. It's not like, oh God, there's a whole, like you said, in BlazBlue, there's not like a whole mechanic that someone else has that, or that I don't understand. It's like, no, everyone works in quarter circles and DPs. That's how everybody plays. Their supers are activated the same way. Their basic attacks are the same. Go wild. Learn. It's fun to learn people in this game mm-hmm. because they're not that complicated.
And that's part of, like, so I am not consciously trying to get you all into fighting games, mm-hmm. but if I see you getting into fighting games, I am going to try and push you in a direction that I think is helpful. So.
Right. Because you've probably seen in your travels, I mean, many people who were like, I'm going to get good at this fighting game, and then gave up because they approached it the wrong way or didn't change things up or, like, fell into a rut of something and didn't really get good at it.
Absolutely.
You know, I think at the end of the day, one of the best things you can tell someone who wants to get into this type of game is, like, I would hope that you are the type of person who sees failure as a learning opportunity and not as, like, a negative. Because if you become the person who's like, yeah, I want to go online and get my ass kicked so that I can learn, then you're good. You're ready to get into fighting games. That's basically the mindset that you need to have, is like accepting that you are going to improve and it's going to happen and it's going to take a long ass time of a lot of losing, and then you're going to feel it and it's going to click and you're going to be in love.
Totally.
You just have to commit and accept that. It's not, because a lot of games are like, you're good at this, you're powerful, especially like Western games are like, you're powerful, you're going to build up, like in a JRPG, you're going to level up a lot and then you're going to be invincible and you can't be touched anymore because you put in the time. Whereas fighting games are like, no, you're going to put in the time and it's going to fucking suck for so long and then it's going to feel great. You're going to win one and you're going to feel awesome. You're going to win one round here and there and you're going to be like, I'm a badass. That's what I think.
I think I agree, and I do want to say, for the record, we always have the little plugs at the end of the episode, mm-hmm. But with as much as I've been recommending fighting games lately, I just want to say, I do have another podcast called Neutral Game, listeners. If you want to get into fighting games, or if you've tried and bounced off, it's a podcast about helping people get into fighting games, and also, if you have questions, I'm at SixDetmar on Twitter, and I genuinely would enjoy answering and helping.
Yeah, you have a guru right there, listener. There you go. You have a person who's very receptive to criticism and very kind and is one of the best teachers I've ever met, to be honest.
Well, for fighting games.
Period.
You should try my English class. I'm incredible.
You must have written the Duolingo for English. From which language, Alan? All of them.
Yes, correct.
Here's a picture of an egg. What is this? Is it an egg? Good job, you did it.
I need an egg. That's a dumb reference. Anyway, let's get on to the deathmatch.
The DM, baby. It's Pokemon Gen 5 time. It's black and white. This is the worst DM of the season.
Yes. When I saw it, I messaged you, oh God, black and white again. Can we please play rock, paper, scissors?
Yeah.
Like, I'm done with this game.
Worst DM game, and maybe worst, and this is not anyone's fault. This is the game's fault. One of the worst, like, DMs to watch. Because especially compared to an episode where it's like, oh, cool, there's a lot of back and forth and there's plays. There's, like, no fucking plays in this game of black and white. Oh, my God. Junghyun just gets eaten alive. And then it ends. And nothing changes. He doesn't bounce back. He doesn't win a single round. Bing, bang, boom, Yuan wins. What are you doing, genius?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I respect, like, okay, so two things. One is, like, I get it. You record it, you had the games played, and it's like, you can't go record a second DM because the first one was fucking boring. You kind of stuck. And I also can appreciate them, like, I don't think the first one was very good. I guess they did. Okay.
I guess someone did, right?
Disagreement there. But I can see that they did not anticipate, like, Yuan competing against a person who was in this previously, and Yuan's like, so after that deathmatch, I was like, hey, what was your strategy? And so now I know what his strategy is, and I'm just going to beat him. And he does.
His strategy for, I mean, just so we're talking about what we're doing, I mean, he knows from the last time Black and White was played how Junghyun plays. I actually thought it was going to be like a Jinnoh thing where he was like, oh, I know what the, like, I know how many thing, like 6, 7, and 8 are always on black. So if he drops 3 blacks, then he's already played his 6, 7, and 8. It's like, no, he didn't learn anything that specific. He just knows how Junghyun plays. which is Jung-hyun. Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, the white and black are predetermined anyway. It's evens and odds. Like, we already know what those are.
True, true, true. That's it. I forgot about that. But, like, what it actually is Jung-hyun doesn't... He says, like, Jung-hyun doesn't like to play with one foot back. Like, he doesn't like to feel like he's even coming close to losing. He wants to sweep. So he's going to play, like, big numbers and go pretty far in and just win really well and keep his confidence and keep his best points at the end so that he doesn't lose at all. And so Yoan just plays against that and just plays, like, one higher than everything and then just wins four rounds in a row, five rounds in a row. That's it. You watched the... I just explained the whole DM to you.
I mean, it's not quite five in a row. He gets four in a row, and then I think Jung-hyun wins. Yeah, Jung-hyun wins two, and then one more.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is pretty clean of a sweep, and I'll give the editors credit. They did less of the oh gosh, what they lay down we just showed you that they did last time, which like, God, I'm just gonna dunk on it again because it was so bad last time when they like have a shot of one of the players' entire row of tiles and they grab the third from the end and slide it over and the camera's like, what could it be? It's like, well, you just fucking showed me, so God, yeah. I wonder. They did that a lot less this time and I appreciate it because it was insulting of my intelligence. And listen, I don't have a high opinion of my intelligence. It takes a lot to insult it.
Same. I also don't have a high opinion of your intelligence.
High five. But that just means like, okay, they didn't do this thing that was stupid, but they didn't really fill it with anything else. It was just
nothing
like
better.
again, it was like the main match where it's like, okay, one person had a good plan. Da da da. Like, all right, great.
Basically.
Yeah, it was kind of weak. I don't know. This is the least I think I've ever had to say about a DM.
It's, yeah, it really goes by super fast. It's like less than a third of the episode, whereas sometimes the best DMs are like almost half of the episode. Like, it's very there and then gone. Jung-hyun goes from like steely-eyed perfect confidence to cracked like an egg in like in seconds. Mm-hmm. And then he just loses really badly. It's a really big, it's a bummer. But like you said, it solidifies to me that this is real, you know? Like,
true.
Sometimes the person who I like a lot just gets destroyed, and that just happens. That's fine. I think I will forever applaud the genius for keeping to that idea and not, like, leaning the game towards somebody who's cooler and ending on, like, the two most fun players or whatever.
Mm-hmm. So that means next week is going to be our final of Season 2, and I will say now, and then edit this out if Alan says no... we're going to record a little, like, 5-10 minute tiny thing, just establishing what the rules of our finale are, and put it up over the weekend, because we said we were going to do something with Garnets, and we still haven't really sat down and thought about that, and we should figure that out, so.
I'm down to clown.
All right, well, we'll throw that up over the weekend, and you'll know what the deal is going to be for our finale episode for Season 2. But it's going to be Songmin versus Yuan, our two picks.
It's amazing. It's amazing that we got here.
How do you feel? Like, I still feel like Songmin's gonna win, but Yuan has been putting up a very good show.
I have so little confidence now. Like, it could go either way. But it's another, I looked at the preview, it's another 3-game best of 3 sort of thing. And I don't know. I haven't seen Yuan in that many DMs. He's been in a couple, but not too many. And it's like, maybe one-on-one he doesn't super-duper thrive, maybe? But
I mean, he's won 2 DMs. I mean, you don't get to see much more than that usually.
Right. But I just mean, like, he doesn't... I feel
he's
like a lot
sold.
Of his best plays have come out of main matches. Yeah, he's won DMs before, but his best plays have come out of, like, alliances and stuff, and there's none of that. And also... they're going to do the thing where they bring everyone else back, and then they get to, like, give points to whoever they want to win. And as you mentioned, every time they do that, Songmin gets fucking everything.
Yeah.
So he's playing against the stacked deck, but anything can happen on the Genius.
I'll be curious to see if the items, the perks that they get for winning people over are as lame as they were last time.
Are as fucking bullshit as they were.
Yeah, I was not impressed last finale with the way the items were implemented, and I hope they thought of something a little more impactful and a little more interesting. I guess we'll see, though. I didn't exactly get a lot of feedback of people being like, yeah, you were right about that, so maybe not. I will say, so for this episode, our two competitors, of course, earned some fantasy points. Please keep in mind our 3x multiplier since we are down to one person each. This means that for this episode, I earned 75 points, a fairly healthy, good outing for Songmin. For Yuan, previously, so in every episode up until now, his total number of points earned for 10 episodes is 58 points. This episode, he earned 66, which multiplied times 3 is 198 points.
It's big boy season, baby. It's big points season, baby.
So I got completely destroyed this episode. And in fact, that's so many points that I haven't calculated totals now, but I actually was like literally like saving my order on the Domino's website, and now I'm fucking scared.
Oh, lordy.
It's so many points. It's so many points. Yep.
So, Simon, can we get a little bit of a breakdown? Like, what were the big point earners for Yuan?
Yuan went from 0 garnets to 41. And then also got a dominant DM win. And I made an executive decision. It was sort of a game time decision where it was like, okay, normally we have one person selected as the elimination candidate, and then they pick another person to go to the DM with them. This time, two people were chosen for the DM. Does that mean both of them were elimination candidates, or neither of them were? And I went with neither.
Yeah.
Because I feel like the spirit of elimination candidate is kind of like you're the person who fucked up the most. And if there are two people who fucked up the most, that doesn't really make sense.
And they weren't. It's not that they were selected. It's that they were just like it's default. The bottom two people are sent to the DM.
Right. So they didn't get. So Yuan didn't get that minus, and that also added up to the big points. Them their big points.
Mm-hmm.
It's big points season. Yeah. Songmin did fine. Songmin had some good moments. Songmin won the game and still lost the points. That's how it goes sometimes.
Gang, gang. I get to assign you homework this week, finally.
You do.
I thought about this one, and I think it would be pretty chill, especially after we had Super Genius on last week on our podcast on the Garnet Wager, if I had you dip your toe into K-pop. But
okay.
I know that you are like vehemently like dog barking at the window, like keep me away from this with K-pop.
So...
Before I continue to roast you, please defend yourself.
To clarify, I don't have any beef with K-pop. I'm just incredibly lazy.
Oh, don't say you are lazy.
The truth is I'm really crazy.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I have no beef with K-pop at all. I have multiple times opened up that like big like introduction to K-pop playlist in YouTube tab. And just be like, I'll listen to it later. And then, like, at some point, Chrome gets shut down without me noticing, and I forget. I'm just really lazy.
Right. That is one method for getting in, quote-unquote, getting into, like, the broad spectrum of K-pop. I just want you to do something while listening and watching some K-pop. Because, I mean, the, like, tent poles are, like, the music being catchy and the dances being amazing. Like, the outfits, the dances, the music videos, etc. So... I want you to be doing two things. Do you have enough space on your desk to do some other things while watching videos?
If I move my keyboard, sure.
Fantastic. I would like you to build one of your Gunpla kits while having some K-pop videos in the background. And I will select and curate the videos for you. How does that sound?
Okay, we can do that.
Which kits do you have? Because I'd also like to pick which kit you're going to build.
So I have one that I got maybe a third of the way through, which is a high-grade Gundam Dynamis from Mobile Suit Gundam 00, Season 1.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have one that I have barely started, which is a Master-grade Destiny Gundam from Mobile Suit Gundam Seed Destiny.
Okay. So the Dynamis is the one with the big gun and the big legs. And the Destiny Gundam is like the main one from Seed Destiny.
Actually, it's kind of not. It's important. It's the one with the big sparkly wings and the huge ass sword. Let's put it that way.
Ooh.
It's a really cool design. From a show that's not that good.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna have you build that one then.
Yeah, fair enough.
That one's definitely more like fancy and has the big boy wings. The other one is just like a good boy. So build that and I'll send you the playlist. I'll make you the playlist and then send it to you. And I think that's a fun combo because from the Gunpla kits that I've built, I've built four I'm looking at right now. The like stuff I do while building is such an essential part of the process. And I know you've like struggled to like motivate yourself to finish one. So I think like pushing you a little bit further to do it will make you realize that you love it maybe or not.
I'm just worried I'll break things. That's all.
No, that's the thing, right? So just, yeah. If you break things, that's fine. Accept that it might happen. And then don't do it.
All right.
Also, I'm going to give you 3 stars for Eunice, by the way.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I've never built a master grade before. I've done a couple of high grades. One was like a long time ago when I was a kid. Like, what kind of differences should I expect?
So the highest grade that I built is actually just a real grade, which is less than a master grade. So I've never built
No, it's not. It's higher.
Is it?
I believe a real grade is a master grade, but scaled down, so therefore it's harder because it's smaller.
No, I've built a master grade then. I did not build a real grade. Sorry. Real grade is the one that I saw in the shop where it was like fucking 10 feet tall and it was like perfect chrome. No, that's not what I built. The what's it called? The one that's you? What's the gun on the
The Tall Geese.
Yeah, please. Sorry. Excuse me. The Tall Geese I built is I'm going to look at it right now. It's a master grade. Whatever. The one right above high grade. That tier.
Okay.
So for those, you will have an exoskeleton to build instead of just building like this is a leg. You will have like a skeleton that you build first, and then you will put armor on top of that, which is really, 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 really fun. And some of the pieces are smaller. There's more pieces, like there's more steps, but
so
it's not.
It's got like an exoskeleton, or endoskeleton
and endoskeleton.
Does that have like wiring?
No, not really. It's just more plastic. You're putting plastic on top of plastic.
So there's nothing I need to plug in. Welcome to the plug zone where we plug our shit. Alan, what's up?
I'm not talking anymore. I was reading an essay recently where someone was like, and I was a mute from the ages of 10 to 15. And I was like, how can you not talk? What? Because I can't even fathom not talking.
Well, why don't you promote your things and projects?
I'll only promote my things. You can listen to me on 2 other podcasts. One is... No, you can listen to... Yes, 2. Phew, I always forget. Fuck. Let's start that again. Take 2. You can listen to me on 2 other podcasts. One is Chats, a television podcast found wherever you listen to those. That's where my friend John and I have been watching TV shows and talking about them in a funny and critical way for about 3 years now. Right now, we're going to be starting Babylon 5. It's a sci-fi show. We're going to be watching a movie first because there's like a bunch of movies in the chronology. It's wild. If you also want to hear me on another show, I'm on Fireside Friends at firesidefriends.net. Check it out. Ryan, Katie, and I talk about pop culture in a cool, chill way. Bam. There it is. There's my foot.
All right. Sounds good. I like feet? I don't know. If you want to check out my works upon this here internet, I'm SixDetmar, that's SixDetmar on Twitter. I also have a couple podcasts that I run these days, and you can find a little bumper for that at the end of the episode. If you want to help me out as far as, like, covering more shit, there's a Patreon that I have with my friend Jen. That's patreon.com/scanlinemedia, and if you subscribe to that, you can get Oops All Anime, which is a great show where we talk about anime and have on guests like Alan here and others, and we have a good time.
Wasn't I on recently to talk about Cells at Work? That was a fun one.
That you were recently on to talk about Cells at Work. It was one of the times where we decided not to go for a two-parter because we were good.
I wonder what it means that the only times you have not... I think the only times you've chosen to not do two-parters were with me. Is that accurate?
No.
Okay, good. Thank God. Wait, what are the other ones?
I not going to list them right now on this podcast. We can talk about it off the air.
Oh, no, I know some of them. All right, I'm sorry. Yes, you're right, and you're accurate.
All right. Okay, thanks, cool. Everybody. We will talk to you next week. And also this weekend, I guess. Bye.
You're listening to a Scanline Media Network podcast. Check out our other podcasts, like Bottle Crow Reborn.
So here's the thing, Nick.
Nobody cares.
No.
It's not about that.
You actually convinced me.
Shit.
The Garnet Wager. And immediately we get Yunji being like, so hang on. Why does everyone call Jin-Ho Kong? And Jin-Ho, like, really circuitously explains because they're making fun of me.
Like, it means bean, but it's all, like, small person, and, like, I'm...
Neutral game.
So, if you're averse to frame data, you can still play the game, and it'll just sometimes take longer to figure some stuff out.
Oops, all anime guide in.
I've known some podcasters with taste, and they're all cowards. Let's talk about today's menu.
Oh my God.
For the Emiya family.
Operation Serial.
Episode 4 was a bit more understandable, but also, I continue to sour on these kids. I think they're dicks.
Okay, that's fair.
And our patron-only podcast, Oops All Anime.
And he has the blessed privilege of getting an invite. He shreds it in front of her, looks her in the eye, like touches
wipes
her face,
a tear off of her eye.
Wipes a tear off her eye and goes, I'll kill you.
Visit Scanline Media at scanlinemedia.com and our Patreon at patreon.com/scanlinemedia.